Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
How's everybody doing tonight? Happy Father's Day. Welcome to the OHIO podcast. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man over there is the wild man, Chris Wilds. That man down there is in the know, JR. Silky smooth, JR. Happy Father's Day, guys. I know you're both fathers. Happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you. Happy Father's Day to you as well.
Happy Thanks. Father's Day, Eric. Hey, Eric, I have to ask you a question, if that's okay.
Sure, shoot.
Did you sit down at any tables recently with a nameplate that had your name spelled wrong? Did that happen recently?
No, why?
Because that's exactly what Tennessee did to David Sanders this weekend. They spelled his name wrong. They put Davis Sanders Jr., and boy, am I ready for David Sanders. I want David Sanders to come here so bad just because Tennessee spelled his name wrong. Stick it to him, David.
It was never – he was never going to go to Tennessee.
No.
Never. I'm telling
People
you –
mentioned
this,
him, but yeah.
I know, but I'm telling you – this thing from the vibe I'm getting, it is Clemson or Ohio State. Yep. He's either going to stay at home or he's going to be a Buckeye. That's how I'm just.
Buckeyes are there every single time somebody talks about him. So it's like either Georgia or Ohio State, Clemson or Ohio State, Tennessee or Ohio State. So you're looking at the one consistency. And plus, did you guys see his photo session that he had with the Panthers?
No.
So his high school is playing a game in the Panthers.
Skeeter, you son of a gun. Happy Father's Day to you, Skeeter. I hope you're doing good today, buddy.
So the rumor is that I can't even remember what I was saying now. Skeeter got me off track. What was I saying? Oh, the Panthers. It's not a rumor. He went to the Panthers Stadium to get pictures done because their team is playing in a game in Panthers Stadium. Like, their high school team is playing a game. And so they want to put pictures on the big board just like they do for the NFL players. So the players came in, and a bunch of them got pictures done and everything like that. And they weren't allowed to wear any, like, team-specific stuff, like high schoolers or anything like that. But he did wear the Ohio State headband under his helmet. So he took pictures afterward and had the Ohio State headband on. So,
oh. I'm yeah. Just saying. Hey, Tyler's all over this with you, too, about David Sanders Jr. What did they call him again? How did they spell
Davis.
It?
Davis.
Davis. Do they have a Davis on their team?
I don't think so.
I was just curious about that. By the way, my all-time favorite baseball player, Eric Davis. Oh. True story. Do you even know who he is, JR?
I've heard the name. I love
the guy.
Oh, he's so awesome. Good. So, do you know?
I also don't pay much attention to baseball. The MLB is just stupid to me.
So, Ohio State, Cincinnati Reds have a player right now who is he's Eric Davis made over, and. It's been a lot of fun. It's just been very nostalgic for me when I do watch them. But so Billy Tuesday, we're getting Lloyd and Finucane.
We're not Sanders. Getting...
we are not getting Lloyd and Finnegan. I was going to say, I was like, wait a second. That's not what I heard. Sanders becoming a big needed get. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I wouldn't count Lloyd out just yet. Lloyd, he had a very good visit, but I wouldn't, not saying he's coming, but I wouldn't count him out just yet. He almost committed to Ohio State.
Dylan said Eric Davis is coaching for Dayton Dragons, which is the single A affiliate for the Reds. Cool. Ryan Wickerham, talking about this upcoming Saturday, Chris, the camp. Get here early, guys, if you can, like around 4:30 or 4:40, so you guys have time to get set up for your podcast. Ryan, we're going to have a heck of a time, man. We're planning on being there. I'm bringing the camera. I'm bringing the microphones.
I'm bringing this beautiful mug.
We're bringing Chris. So that's all you need to have a good time. Should be a lot of fun, man. My bad, Dylan. Excuse me. High single A for the record. We are the official podcast of Scarlet and Game. Head over to scarletandgame.com. Check out all the great articles written over there by the writers at Scarlet and Game, which is an affiliate of FanSided. We are the official audio podcast for them, so just click on the podcast link. That's where you'll find us. We are also the official Ohio State podcast for the College Huddle. Go over to thecollegehuddle.com. You can find us there along with 72 other of our sisters and brethren podcasts from all over the country, including majority of the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, and ACC, and some Group of Five. And by the way, you can find links to JR's College Huddle shows over there as well. Make sure that you go to our website, theohiopodcast.com. There you can find links to all of our social media sites, including Twitter and Facebook. And you can find links to the store, which is right behind Chris over there. All kinds of good stuff. Just got some new merchandise in, he said. So we're happy to make sure to provide you with all of your Ohio State needs. And check out the merch link as well. There you'll be able to find all kinds of good things. And then finally, go over to our YouTube channel. And by the way, you can find this link on our website as well. If you hit the join button, it'll take you to our YouTube channel where $3.99 a month, you can become an official member of the OHIO podcast. Get that t-shirt in about a month's time, as well as earning, free shipping from purchases from the store that Chris manages. And also, free content that's just for you as members. I guess it's not technically free, $3.99 a month. But hey, what is free is you hitting the thumbs up button. Hit that like button right now, guys. We really do appreciate that if you'll do that. And if you feel we're worthy of it and you're not already subscribed, do that and ring the bell so that you get notified. Rick Wickerham, bring some memorabilia and some of the shirts. Maybe you can make some money, he said. That's now you're speaking Chris's language.
I like money.
Yeah. Donald Hoffer, good to see you tonight. Happy Father's Day, gentlemen. Happy Father's Day to you as well. What? Ohio only fans? Isn't that the same thing as Farmers Only or Farmers.com or FarmersOnly.com? Dylan, you should be the face of FarmersOnly.com. Just saying, you'd be a great face for that website. All right, guys, let's jump into it tonight. Our previews are coming. Illinois is on deck. They are the first one. Indiana's going to be after that. And then, of course, we've been working our way through the positions. We started with running back. We went to defensive line last week. Today, we're going to talk about the most exciting position in the offense, the tight end position. Not really exciting, but still important. And, guys, I'm not going to lie, this one was tough. There's not a whole lot of information out there. I had to be doing some serious research. I have a feeling that a lot of us are going to go really different ways here. So this will be a lot of fun. So tonight I'm going to start with JR first. Then we'll go to Chris, and I will finish it up. And that's how we're going to check that out tonight. So Allstate 12 is watching. What's up, Chef? I don't get it.
12. The Allstate 12 change thing. Did you not hear about that?
Name change thing with the
no. What's up with that?
The Allstate is trying to buy the naming rights of the Big 12.
Oh.
So the joke is that the Allstate 12, They'll change it from the Big 12 to the All Big 12.
So if that's what's going to happen, what would be the Big 10 be bought out by? Because you know the SEC is going to be
somebody was saying Dick's Sporting Goods. Big.
You know the SEC is going to be bought out by Chick-fil-A, right? Like, that's the thing, right? Obviously.
I hope not. I like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd hate to have to boycott Chick-fil-A.
But we will if we have to.
But we will.
I like Ohio State more than Chick-fil-A.
Good to see you tonight, Eric Osbeck. All right, here we go. Number 10, JR. Let's start us off, man.
I don't know how to pronounce his name, so if I pronounce it incorrectly, I do apologize. Maliki Matavoa from UCLA. Good player, good blocker. Had some pretty good stats last year, if I'm not mistaken. So what I did is instead of, like, because all these guys get injured, so it's kind of hard to just, like, take their yearly season stats. Total stats, yeah. Or whatever. So I kind of went like yards per game and stuff like that. He only had like 20 yards per game, but he did have very few drops. So he caught the balls that were thrown to him, and he had very few TDs. But honestly, there's not a whole lot of tight ends coming back. So
the Hooters Conference, is that what Sean's going after for the Big Ten there? He had the Hooters Bowl. Remember that?
Big Hooters. There we go. The Big Hooters. The Big Hooters Conference. I love it.
This show's going to go off the rails. I can see.
Oh, family friendly. We are just dancing all over that line, aren't we?
We're talking about owls, Eric. We're just talking about owls. Gosh, get your mouth out of the gutter.
Who? Who?
You.
All right, Chris, number 10.
Well, first of all, you know, JR, that guy's 20.2 yard per catch average was pretty impressive. For what did he have, like eight catches all season?
I was going to say, like eight catches? Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I went with Zach Horton from Indiana. He actually is coming over from James Madison. Had a decent year there, 27 catches, 275, six touchdowns, 10.2 yards per carry. I think he's going to get, you know, a lot of opportunities thrown at him by his mentor there, Cignetti, now that he's over there. That and the fact that I think that they're going to have to depend a lot on tight ends because that offensive line isn't going to stop a whole lot of people for very long. So, I think he's a quality guy, but let's see if he can do it in the Big Ten. So I've got him in at number 10.
I was going to put that comment up there, Skeeter, but you're really now you're getting on my nerves here. Big Ten Charmin, my goodness. You do realize most of the SEC don't even like count you guys as a part of their conference, but you know. It's okay. Until you win a game, a big game, then all of a sudden they're like, yay, look at, we got Mizzou in the SEC. That's how most of them are. Okay, I'm with you, Chris. That's exactly who I have as well. It is so hard. It is so hard to gauge transfers, especially when they come from the G5, because you just don't know how that game is going to look when they come up to the Power Four conferences. So I have him in at number 10 with the caveat that if he does what he did for James Madison and he can do that for Indiana, he might be able to get up closer to 5-6 in the tight ends this year in the Big Ten. But I'm going to pull a JR and say, let's not necessarily look at what you might do. Let's look at what you did do. Put you in at number 10. JR, number 9. Here we go.
Number 9, Lake McCree. So very Midwest name there, Lake. He is the USC tight end. He's been playing for the past 3 years. Really got most of his playing time this past year. Was targeted 30 times, caught 26 balls. So that's a really good percentage there. He does not drop the ball hardly at all. I'm trying to find exactly. Yeah, zero drops in his entire career. He's been playing for 3 seasons. He's been targeted a total of 55 times. So, 55 targets and zero drops. That's pretty good if you ask me. 262 yards last year. However, only one touchdown. So, did have to cut him a bit for that, but overall, pretty good player. Played very well against Stanford last year. That's when he had his touchdown, and had a good game against Cal. Had 4 catches for 71 yards that game.
So, Eric, you played JR. I'm going to play Eric here.
Okay.
And yes, this is me being a homer, okay? But I really feel like the talent is there. So I'm going to go, even though he only had 10 catches for 70 yards and a touchdown, give me G. Scott Jr. And I'm going to tell you why. He was a top 40 prospect as a wide receiver, fifth wide receiver coming out in 2020. Chip Kelly loves to use his tight ends in the vertical game. He loves to get these guys involved in the vertical passing game. He did it at Oregon. He did it with the Eagles. And you look at what he did last year with UCLA and the kid that JR was talking about, Malachi. We're not even going to screw up the last name a second time, so I'm not going to go there. But, you know, I really feel like G. Scott Jr. is going to be in on a lot of passing downs and get some opportunity there to really put up some big numbers from the tight end position in Kelly's offense.
Bobby McCormick, great question. How many transferred from James Madison to the Big Ten? The answer is all of them.
Lots.
They all went to Indiana.
They all followed coach. Yeah, their coach to Indiana. It's a lot.
It's not dumb because you're going to be playing big boys, and guess what? What games the scouts go to? Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon. They don't go against Sun Belt teams.
Michigan State did the same thing, though. Look how many kids came over from Oregon State, you know?
Yeah, we're going to talk about a Michigan State guy here soon.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we are. So number nine for me is Lake also. So same thing as JR has. I think if your name is Lake, I guess you're probably pretty good at, like, something. Maybe not necessarily football, but maybe, like, water skiing. Water polo? What, Chris?
You confuse me sometimes. Okay.
Seriously. Like, if you name your kid Lake, aren't you, like guessing that they're going to be, like, good at water skiing?
If you're going to name your kid Lake, he better be good at defending himself.
Well, he's a tight end, so probably not. It's not a defensive player. I don't know. JR said some Midwestern name. There you go. You name your kid Lake, he better be good at fishing.
Okay.
I got him at number nine. He's the first USC guy we have mentioned so far in all of these rankings, guys.
And I don't even have him on the list.
Number eight.
Well-known Chris, USC hater. All right, so if Dylan is still here, I don't know if Dylan stays around for the actual rankings, but if he's still here, he'll like this one. Max Clair out of Purdue only played 5 games last year, but in those 5 games, he had nearly 200 yards receiving, didn't register a touchdown, so that is unfortunate for him. However, 0 drops, targeted 25 times. I really think people are sleeping on Purdue this year. I see a lot of people picking them to be last in the Big Ten. I'm not saying Purdue is going to be some spectacular thing, but I think they had a lot of injuries. I think they had a lot of injuries last year that, you know, kind of hurt their season. And I think Max Clair is one of the guys that got injured last year. That'll show everybody he's a darn good player.
Yeah, I actually like Max Clair. I had him just outside my top 10. But number eight, I've got Thomas Fedone from Nebraska. 25 catches, 260 yards, 4 touchdowns, 10.4 yards per catch. You know, Matt Rhule, come from the NFL. He's a guy who knows how to use those tight ends again. He gets an upgrade at quarterback with Rayola this season versus last year. That's if Rayola doesn't transfer for the 37th time before the start of the season. But I feel like Fedone is going to be a big part of this Husker offense. I think he's going to put up some good numbers this season.
Number eight for me is UCLA's Maliki. By the way, I love the name. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the last name, but it sounds like the song that the Hula Hula girls sing when you get off the plane in Hawaii and they give you the little flower thing. And
the one from Christmas Vacation?
Yes.
Malakalikimaka.
Yes, that's exactly what his name reminds me of. But Yeah, I mean, if he's obviously not going to have the same yards per catch numbers, but he is going to have more catches this year, and UCLA is going to need somebody because Lord knows they don't have a lot offensively there, so he's going to have to step up. That's who I got at number 8. I guess we're on to number 7.
All right, number 7 for me is the Penn State tight end Tyler Warren. He had a very good year last year in terms of touchdowns. I'm trying to find the exact number. 7 touchdowns, and they were very well spread out. He had 2 against Iowa, 1 against Illinois, 1 against Delaware, 1 against UMass, and then 1 against Maryland, 1 against Michigan State. However, he did kind of disappear in some of their bigger games. Other than Ole Miss, he did. Of course, that was a bowl game. A lot of backups playing in that one. But still, 127 yards in that one. But if we're talking about in their big games, at Ohio State, 11 yards. Against Michigan, 25 yards. Against Rutgers, 32 yards. Wow, that's a lot to say Rutgers is a big game. But that was probably the third best team they played last year. They played Iowa. Yeah. He did have 2 touchdowns in that game, but only 9 yards. So it wasn't really a threat outside of the red zone, which, again, is good, but still could do a little bit better than that. But the thing I did ding him a lot for is in 2022, he was targeted 15 times and he had 2 drops. In 2023, he was targeted 49 times. Guys, 6 drops. Ooh. Led the Big Ten in tight end drops.
I was going to ask you what you have against Penn State players, because I am always higher on Penn State guys than you are. What's up?
I don't believe in James Franklin. James Franklin is bad. James Franklin but never succeeds.
Where do you have them as a team ranked, 4th or 5th in the conference right now? Or do you have them dropping even more?
I think USC will be better than Penn State.
Really?
I think Michigan will be better than Penn State. I think Iowa and Penn State are kind of tied for me.
That's brutal.
I don't believe in James Franklin. I don't believe in his QB development. I don't believe in the wide receiver position not having anybody. I don't believe he gets the offensive lines that he needs to be able to run the type of offense and stuff that he does. He just he beats the bad teams, and he loses to all the good teams. And I think USC is a better team this year.
All right, fair enough.
Actually, 7's the same place I've got Tyler Warren. You know, I looked at, much like JR did, I looked at the numbers. And if you look at the numbers on the surface, they're pretty decent numbers. But when you look at what he did versus Iowa, OSU, and that team up north, he had a combined 5 catches for 45 yards and 2 touchdowns, both which came against Iowa. A 3-game stretch against quality opponents, that is not good performance.
Jeremiah is on your side there, JR. All right, number 7.
I tell you, anytime you diss James Franklin, a lot of Ohio State fans are on your side. That's all I'm saying.
Number 7 for me is Thomas Fedone II, sophomore from Nebraska, 25 catches, 260 yards, 4 touchdowns. He was one of the highest-ranked tight ends coming into the season last year as a freshman, and performed pretty well as a freshman, and is only going to get better. And here's the thing. Watch out. He's got a freshman quarterback. What does freshman quarterback do? Usually they're quick triggered at first. They look for their outlets way too quick a lot of times. Tight ends are going to get some play when you have young quarterbacks. I think he has a tremendous season this year. Number 6, JR.
Number 6 for me is the good old Oregon tight end, Terrence Ferguson. I think Terrence Ferguson had a good year last year against USC. That was a big game for Oregon, obviously. Rival team you really want to beat. One of the better teams in the Pac-12, although they were, 8-5. Still one of the better teams in the Pac-12. And he had 7 targets, 6 receptions, 60 yards, and a touchdown. Also had 2 touchdowns against Washington in the Pac-12 championship game. So that was impressive there. He did some good work against Liberty as well. Probably his best game of the year. If it wasn't USC, it was against Stanford. Five targets, 4 catches, 49 yards, and a touchdown. I think that he is just a good wide receiver with some pretty good measurables. And when you have 6 touchdowns last year, 5 touchdowns the year before, he's been starting for a while, and he comes in from UCLA. So that was his only season starting at Oregon, but he did start at UCLA the year before that. So good tight end, and I think he's going to do well in the Big Ten.
Well, for me, number 6, you know, it's another one of those transfer kids coming from a small school, and that's Cole Rusk, Illinois. 39 catches, 512 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 13.1 yards per. You know, had big numbers on a really bad Murray State team. So we have to see if he can play at the Big Ten level. But I'll tell you, I think he's going to be quite the safety blanket for Luke Altmyer. And I think this is a guy that, our buddy Birdie's going to be able to, use to his advantage.
Chris?
Can I answer Sean really fast?
Yes.
Sean, the robe cannot come on tonight. It is 90-some degrees here, and the air conditioning is not working properly in this room. So the robe cannot come on tonight. I do apologize. I will put it on soon, but 97 degrees, a not very well air-conditioned room, it's not good business. Anyway, go ahead, Eric.
That happened to us Thursday night. That happened to us Thursday night, and thankfully Friday morning a guy came over and fixed it for us and got us.
The air conditioner was fine. It's just this room. This room, for whatever reason, it's not getting it as well tonight. Right. So
it's your hot box. It's where you give your hot takes. I got it. Chris, same guy for me, man. Again, huge numbers, but here's the thing. I have an advantage over you two. I've already talked to our Illinois partner here at the College Huddle, and for our preview, they are super high on this guy this year. This is not that they're building their offense around him, but he might be the best offensive weapon they have in the passing game, and they've got a pretty good quarterback over there in Champaign. So keep that in mind. So yeah, I have him at number 6 as well. All right, time for the top 5, JR.
All right, I think I saw somebody at some point mention that they might not see any Iowa players on that list, and that's fine. But Iowa does produce one position on the offensive side pretty well, and that is tight end. So give me Luke Lachey at number 5. He did get injured last year, so that was unfortunate for him, but he averaged – hold on, let me check my notes really fast. In his 2 games last year, he averaged like 60 yards or something like that per game. So when you can do that, that's pretty good if you ask me. And that's just kind of the way the Iowa offense operates with the tight ends. You know, the receivers hardly ever catch the ball. You'd think Caleb Brown could have, maybe caught some balls with both tight ends going down, but obviously not. So... But Luke Lachey, good tight end. Although he was injured, I do ding him a bit for that. Not to say he's a bad player, but you never know how guys are going to come back from injury. But still in the top 5 for me.
I have a Luke Lachey hot take coming here in a little bit. Hold tight. Can't go ahead, wait. Chris.
Number 4 for me is – I'm sorry, we're on number 5, aren't we? Woo!
Yep.
I missed one there. Number 5 for me is actually Will Kaczmarek. Good blocker, really good blocker, 22 catches, 243 yards, 2 touchdowns, 11.0. This is me kind of hedging my bets. If Gee Scott doesn't have that huge receiving year, I think Kaczmarek's got the ability to be a threat in the passing game. So I've got him in at 5.
Would you be shocked if I didn't put him in at all?
No,
Chris.
No, I would not.
Because I think he might be our 3rd tight end this year.
You think he falls all the way down between behind Gee and
Thurman?
Thurman.
Mm-hmm. I do. That's my belief right now. Unless JR, you've heard something else. He in the spring game was 3rd string. So
who was it again? I apologize.
Will Kazmarek, the Ohio University tight end that transferred in.
Yeah, I think the size of the defenders is getting to him a little bit. Didn't look great in the spring game. I heard the spring wasn't the best for him, but he's a transfer, so we have to give him time. Who knows? He can come back in the fall, transform his body, you know, get some more time with the coaches. But he does have some good receiving ability. I know people talk about he was brought in as a blocker. I think he has some good receiving ability, too. I'm not saying he's going to get drafted, but I think he'll have a role in the offense, but I do think G. Scott will probably be the guy this year. Just my thoughts. I don't know. We'll see.
Yep. All right. Number five for me is Jack Velling. He's the one. I think you'd already talked about him, JR. Yeah. No, you did not.
Not yet.
I didn't rank him yet, but I said he was coming. Yeah.
I've got him coming up to you.
Okay. He's the Oregon State transfer to Michigan State. 29 catches, 438 yards, 8 touchdowns last year, and a pretty pass-happy offense at Oregon State. I expect Michigan State to be behind early and often and have to try to pass the football. I think that he's going to get some pretty good stats there that way, but that's who I have at number 5. On to the top 4.
My number 4 is give me Maryland's Corey Dyches. Corey Dyches, however you pronounce his name, had a great season last year. A ton of yards, had 106 yards and 2 touchdowns against Purdue. This was before Purdue was massively banged up too, so that was a really good outing for him. Had a touchdown against SMU. Only 3 touchdowns on the year, so I do ding him for that. But guys, you know, the tight end savior for the team up north, Corey Dyches, averaged more yards per game than he did. So,
JR,
what?
I hate to rain on your parade. Dyches transferred to Cal.
Did he really?
Yeah.
When did that happen? My bad. All right, G. Scott Jr., number 4. I was just reading an article posted in May that he was still on Maryland. So that article apparently got it wrong. My apologies. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure when it was. It was sometime late May or June.
Yeah, the guys in the article, I didn't look up on 24/7 to check because I just figured, well, the article has it right. You know what? That happened with me last year with the CJ guy that went to Alabama. What was his name? There was some tight end last year that went to Alabama from Maryland that I did that same thing with. So I don't know. Just something with Maryland tight ends that gets me.
Yeah, he got you, all right. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. You're right. He would have been a top 3, top 4 guy had he been here.
I don't know, guys. I don't know. Hey, I'll tell you what, JR. Yeah. I'll let you redo your rankings and send them to me. Deal?
I already sent them to you, but just put G. Scott Jr. at 10. Move everybody else up 1.
Okay. Fair enough. That sounds good. All right. You're up, Chris.
So for me at number 4, I really like the kid from Oregon, Ty Ferguson. You know, JR threw out the numbers earlier. You know, he's not a real big game guy by the numbers, you know, 40, but he did have 42 catches, 414 yards. But he stepped up big in big games, and that was the key. So I really think he's going to have a huge year. You know, given the fact that I think the defensive back play in the Big Ten is so much better than it is or was in the Pac-12, that we aren't going to have their receivers running around near as much open, and they're going to have to depend a little bit more on that tight end.
This is a great question. By the way, I have the same guy at number 4 as well, Chris. So we did this lock and step last year. It seemed like at every position we were like the same all the time. So I'm not surprised that we thought the same here. Donald Hopper II wants to know, when looking at the tight end position, what are you guys looking for? Do you value receiving capabilities, blocking, or is it the impact the position has on the respective team? I'd like to answer this question for myself, and then I'll let you each answer yourself as we go around for the top 3 here. For me, I'm looking at not only their offensive stats, but what position they hold on the team as far as when you look at team leaders, experience, What are they saying? What are the beat writers saying about this person? Is he considered a possible captain on the team? Those are the things I'm looking for, not just stats, but I'm looking at what the impact is and how he's viewed. Kind of similar of how we kind of viewed Stover. Mm-hmm. You know, Stover's stats were actually pretty good, but, you know, I think it's the things you couldn't statistically look at was where he brought the most value to the team and his leadership, his give a darn, right? So that's kind of, by the way, you're getting a lot of credit for your pivot there, JR. Good job. But
hey, I just checked 24/7. 24/7 is the only site that has him at Cal. I checked PFF. They don't have him at Cal. I checked the article again. They don't have him at Cal. So, Chris, commend to you. You're smarter than a bunch of other people out there, apparently. So glad to have you on the show.
Well, I could have told you that.
All right, JR, number three, and what are you looking at when you're looking at ranking your tight ends?
I think it's so hard to grade blocking with tight ends. I just try to make sure they're adequate at it, and they do a good job. You know, are they able to hold up in pass protection? If they are, you know, do they do a good job? From what I've seen, obviously I don't go back and look at, you know, the most tape in the world. When I go back and look, are they getting off blocks well in the running game to get to the next level? They don't have to smash guys down because they just don't have the size to do that, but can they double team a guy and then get to climb to the next level? I mean, that kind of stuff. So maybe I should put more blocking into it, but with the modern day tight end today, I feel like you just need to be serviceable as a blocker. And then your athletic ability is really where it comes into play for the receiving and stuff. So, all right, number three, I know he's at the place because I just heard you guys talking about him, so I feel good about this one, but my number three guy is that Cole Rusk from Illinois. I tell you guys, when I heard this guy was transferring to Illinois, I went back and I watched, like, some of his actual tape, you know, not like the All-22 or anything like that, but just watched some of his games. Guys, he's really good. He is really, really good. 6'5", 250 pounds. I mean, this guy was just a monster in the FCS. Now, it was the FCS, so it is kind of hard to know, like, how is he going to come over and do and stuff like that. But, man, he really, really was a monster. 6 touchdowns, 512 yards. If it tells you anything, he had better stats in every area, drops, touchdowns, yards. He did better than Colston Loveland in every area. Now again, that was an FCS, so I'm not going to rank him over him because, you know, talent level of competition, but man, if he can replicate anything like what he did at the FCS level at Illinois, he's going to be really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's going to be awesome, but, you know, you'd ask what we use to rank it. I kind of sink in there with JR, but I do throw a little bit of kind of bonus points their way for what Eric's talking about as far as their leadership, their role on the team. Anyhow, number three for me, I went with Jack. Help me out, the kid from Oregon State.
Oh, Velling.
Velling, thank you. Jack Velling, Michigan State, 29 catches, 438 yards, eight touchdowns, which was impressive. 15.1 per. You know, obviously he's going to be a safety net for his coach there, who he came along with. Here's the problem that I do have with him, and it's the same problem that I had with the kid from Penn State. And that is, if you look when he played against ranked opponents, he's got something to prove. Over five games against ranked opponents, he averaged 1.8 catches per game for 26.8 yards and only 0.6 touchdowns. So against the easier opponents, he's going to put up huge numbers. But can he do it against the big dogs? That's what we got to see. Fortunately for him, though, Michigan State does not have the most difficult schedule in the Big Ten this year.
They're going to be better than people think, I think.
Yeah.
They can't be any worse. My gosh, they were awful last year. Okay. It's hard for me to argue against you guys, but I'm going to try. Because I think Tyler Warren, 34 catches, 422 yards, 7 touchdowns. Yes, I hear you, Chris. It's not been against the best teams. And yes, JR, James Franklin is his head coach. But I think this is one of the better tight ends in the conference because of two reasons. Number one, he's very good blocker, and they are going to run the football at Penn State. Number two, his quarterback's not very good, and that means usually – and by the way, Drew Aller, how many throws down the field beyond 20 yards did he have? It wasn't a lot.
Not a lot.
So I think this guy gets targeted a lot. So, again, JR's disdain, I am foreshadowing it here a little bit. I think he's one of the better tight ends in the conference. So, there you go. I'm a little bit higher on Penn State's talent, I think, than what you guys are this year. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I just couldn't really get over the drops. Like, it's one thing to only play super well against your best opponents, right?
I understand that, but one more year of experience. He's, you know, I'm sure that they're working with him on that, right? Like, I get it. By the way, you know, one player I think really didn't get the credit, especially in the big games, was Stover.
Yeah.
Stover
was one of the top three best tight ends in the country last year.
Yeah. Like, he was next to Marvin Harrison Jr. He was the next best receiver on the team last year, statistically. That's what the Oregon guy brought to the table. I was not expecting that. And he's like, how are you going to replace that? And I was like,
that's a good question.
With a high 4-star guy, hopefully, that's ready to go. That was my answer to him on that one, with more talent. Like, what do you want? I don't know.
I do think G. Scott will be better. I don't know if he'll be Cade Stover level better. But he had to change his entire body and everything. Like, man, going from wide receiver – like, I know he was a bigger wide receiver, but still, like, I don't know. Like, that just takes time. So I'm hoping he's had enough time, and I'm – yeah, but
– So anyway. What you're saying, Odysseus, was Stover – he says Stover bailed out Honda time after time. So what you're saying was he was Kyle McCord's tow truck? We've had him as a combine, Farmer Gronk, now he's a tow truck.
I'll tell you, think about last season and how many times McCord's bad throws nearly got Stover killed.
Well, all the receivers, how many times they were, you know, going backwards and
that catch where he was in the end zone and he was like falling away.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was a great, great catch.
Larry brings up something I've heard a lot. G. Scott doesn't block.
That's one of the reasons I don't have him in my top 10.
He misses a lot of blocks, I think.
It's not that he's not physical.
Eric, if you're going to give – oh, go ahead, Jer.
Sorry, I was just going to say really quick. It's not that he's not physical. It's just he, like, when he's in the open field, he doesn't know how to block. He doesn't know where his runner is in order, which some of it is the runner. You have to get the blocker right, right? But still, like, in the open field, he doesn't attack the man to hit him. So, anyway, go ahead, Chris.
You know where I'm going, Eric.
Yeah, I do.
If you're going to give credit to the guy from Penn State for having another year of experience and having, you know, more experience and more opportunity or more time at the position, then you got to do the same thing for G. Scott here.
Well, second off, you just answered the question. He's got more time experience on the field at the position than what G. Scott has.
Yeah.
Scott's got to play. All right, moving on. Number two.
Oh, my gosh. This is the last one before I have to get sad. Number two, Velling from Michigan State. I hear you guys on, you know, was Arizona not ranked when he played them? He had 71 yards and a touchdown.
No, I'm sure Arizona was ranked.
They were not ranked when they played.
They weren't?
Week 9. They weren't ranked yet. I thought they were ranked later in the year. Okay. But they were ranked at the end of the year, weren't they, Arizona?
Yeah.
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 So, but yeah, his three best games, I mean, that was kind of the stretch that got him most of his stats. Cal, UCLA, Arizona, I did like. They had UC Davis on their schedule, and he only got one target against them and didn't catch any balls, so I did like that he didn't have a bunch of fluff stats against a FCS team and stuff like that. But toward the end of the year, he was you know, not great, but okay. 7 targets against Colorado, 3 targets, 3 catches against Stanford. Now, he did fall off against Washington, and he did fall off at Oregon. So, you know, we do have to take that into account as well. But I like his size. I like his ability. I think he's a good blocker for the most part. And I think he's going to do well. I think he kind of came into his own, kind of was a slow starter in the start of the year. And I think he puts an entire year together. And I think he has a very good year.
So I'm going to break my own rule here. But first, I want to say, JR, you disappoint me. To not have Luke Lachey as one of the top 2 tight ends in this is absolutely absurd.
Amen.
Yes. He got injured last year. He only had 10 catches for 131 yards. But the year before that, 28 catches, 398 yards, 4 touchdowns, 14.2 average. At tight end, I'm still beyond angry that this kid is not a Buckeye. There's no reason this kid should not have been a Buckeye. And I normally would never rank somebody coming off the injury this high, but this kid's talent is just that good. And you know what's more than his talent is his desire, his hunger. You know, and he's with a quarterback in Cade McNamara that can't throw the ball more than 15 yards. So he's going to get a ton of targets. He is, if not coming off injury, I'm telling you right now, I've got the kid at number 1, if not coming off injury this year. Eric?
Can I ask Chris a question really fast?
Sure. Sure.
Okay. So we're going off 2022 primarily, right?
Mm-hmm. But I didn't say you had to.
Well, but in Luke Lachey's case, mm-hmm. I'm asking Chris for him. Yeah. Okay. So I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong. I'm just going to give my reasoning here a little bit.
Sure.
In 2022, Luke Lachey played against Nevada, 1 target, 0 yards. Played at Illinois, 1 target, 0 yards. He played at Purdue, 2 targets, 1 catch. Played Wisconsin, 2 targets, 1 catch. If we're going to knock, in my opinion, if we're going to knock Jack Velling for only having a 3-game stretch, I think we need to talk about Luke Lachey's 3-game stretch of Minnesota, Nebraska, and Kentucky at the end of the year, which – I don't know. Call me a Big Ten hater. I don't think those teams are as good as Cal, UCLA, and Arizona last year. That's just me personally, though.
Who's knocking Jack Velling, though? I had him in at number 3.
Well, no, I'm not. Sorry, I wasn't saying you were, Jack. I wasn't saying you were. Sorry, we were talking about how, like, you didn't have the best stats against ranked teams and stuff like that. So, you know, saying that we knocked him for that.
Dylan,
I'm just saying.
Dylan, there is no way Tavian Galloway is going to get. Yes, I understand he was a 4-star tight end from Ohio that you guys picked up. But there is no way he's your number 1 tight end this year. No way.
Max Clair.
Max is your number 1 tight end over there. I'm sorry. No way.
Maybe
continue.
For next year, remember the name. But.
He's maybe that's what he meant. Remember this for next year, 2025 and 2026. Remember it. All right, hold on. You can't tell me, Ryan Day, that you seriously thought that it was a good idea to go get Joe Royer in his white man afro over a legendary son, Jim Lachey. Hall of Fame, Jim Lachey, the guy who does your color commentary on the radio, for God's sakes, his son, who's sitting in your backyard, and you say, no, I'll go take the guy with the white man afro over him. No way. That was the biggest, and I have stood on this hill for 4 years now. This was the biggest recruiting goof Ryan Day made since he's been at Ohio State, is taking Joe Royer and not even pursuing Luke Lachey. Crazy to me. That guy was tailor-made to be a Buckeye, and he is playing in Iowa City. And where's Joe Royer playing at, guys? It's not Columbus. It's in Cincinnati, where he went out and got him from. And he's not even going to start for Cincinnati this year. Come on. That one, I will never understand why you didn't go out and get Luke Lachey. There, I said it. Number two tight end in the Big Ten this year.
Before we move on, I just want to say that Dylan loses cool points for that last comment.
Okay, I'm not even going to put it up. I'm not even going to acknowledge it. Thank you, Donald and Karen. Appreciate that. They agree with me. I've been waiting to rant on this for a while. And mark it down. Mark it down. I hope, for goodness sake, Luke Lachey doesn't burn us this year.
Yeah.
That's, I'm not that I'm super worried about Iowa and their terrible offense. I get it. They're really bad at playing offense. But Luke Lachey is, dude, I got a soft spot in my heart for him, man. Got a soft spot in my heart for him. That guy should be a Buckeye. All right. This is not going to end well. I can already tell for all of us. No. And the chat is going to hate us. So, JR, I'll let you go first and start the hate.
Who was your number two?
Luke Lachey.
Oh, okay. Colston Loveland. Move on.
Agreed. I mean, you can't. I'll go out there and say it. You can't deny the kid. 45 catches, 649 yards, 4 touchdowns, 14.4. And you know the numbers are only going to get better this year because they got a new quarterback. They got new receivers. No doubt the guy's going to get a lot of opportunity. So you got to throw it at Loveland.
He's the only other player right now so far that's gotten all three number ones from us. Sawyer and him.
Probably the best tight end of the country too.
Here's
I don't know anybody else. Maybe the Utah guy, but the Notre Dame guy.
Here's the one argument I was trying to give myself to put Lachey at number one over him. Who his quarterback is.
Yeah.
Problem is who's going to be Iowa's quarterback.
I would argue one's that just as bad Cade McNamara and Brendan Sullivan are going to be better passers than Alex Orji, though. I mean, like, Alex Orji has the athleticism, but maybe Cade and Brendan are going to be better passers, right? They're going to process better. They both started. Like, Alex Orji's never done anything but run the speed option. Like,
oh, I can't believe that just happened. Although, thank you, Matt. Thank you, brother. I hate it when we have to admit it, but you know what? We are truth. We seek the truth here, man. And sometimes that means the truth is ugly. And that one was ugly.
You know what? I feel okay though because I ranked Tyleek Williams over Mason Graham last week, so I'm fine with it.
There you go. There you go. All right, guys. Quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have a pretty fun discussion. Someone been in the chat's been dogging Dabo, so he's here ready to talk about our next topic, which is going to be who is the most overrated coaches in the country and in the Big Ten. Hang tight, everybody.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree, high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com.
Oh my gosh. Where's this?
I want to apologize to Eric Osbeck. He's very, not happy with my shelving in the back. I do apologize, Eric. We just moved, and I know I say just moved. We moved here like a month ago, but the podcast setup has not been high on the priority list of getting enough other stuff set up. I have children that require that kind of attention, so it will be set up.
All right, guys. So let's get into our next topic. As I was thinking about what we wanted to talk about tonight after we did our rankings here, I decided that I wanted to open up a can of worms because, you know, I'm a glutton for punishment like that. I want to talk about who is the most overrated coach in college football and the most overrated coach in the Big Ten. Now, I will be the first one to admit that we are Buckeye homers. We're wearing scarlet and gray colored glasses here. Okay? I'm making Chris. I know, Chris.
You think I'm going to say something that I'm not?
Okay. I'm hope. I don't know, man. You could go one of two ways with this thing. I know, but let's start with nationally, the most overrated coach in college football nationally. Now, before you give your answer, I want you to explain what criteria. That you used to come up with your answer for your first one. And Chris, I'm going to give you the honors of going first tonight. Who is the most overrated coach in college football and why?
Okay, for me, I looked at criteria. My criteria were, of course, win-loss record, bowl wins, wins over ranked opponents, also recruiting, and finally, basically the type of jobs they've had or been offered. So for me, and I know he's not the sexy pick to be the most annoying or most overrated. You know, the first thought was, I'm not gonna lie, the first person I dived into was Coach
Prime. I was going to guess what it was, Deion Sanders.
It was Coach Prime.
Yeah.
And as bad as his season was at Colorado, he actually had some great seasons at Jackson State. And he did some pretty good recruiting things down there, so I couldn't ding that guy. Of course, I looked at Dumbo Sweeney. But Dumbo, he does have some national titles. Kind of hard to ding that guy. So it came down to one of two people, Brian Kelly, who I just cannot stand, or somebody I can't stand even more. Mario Cristobal from Miami.
I thought about him. Okay.
74-73 overall. 3-4 bowl game record. And by the way, although those wins in the Red Box Bowl and the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl were quite impressive, you know, he just doesn't get it done in the big bowl games. He's got one big bowl victory. 0-6 when he was at versus ranked teams when he was at Ford International. Only 7-6 against ranked teams at Oregon. And he's been 1-6 against ranked teams in since going to Miami. Guys, that's 8-18 overall against ranked teams. And it's no wonder that the people in Miami want Ryan Day. It's not, because this guy is just not good. He's only had two seasons in 13 years where he's actually had more than 10 wins. Or 10 wins or more, I should say. He's had six losing seasons. Nearly half of his seasons have been losing seasons. Yet whenever a high-profile job comes up, you hear his name at least mentioned. I don't get it. I don't understand it. The guy is the most overrated coach in college football.
Okay. JR, you're up next, buddy.
All right, so I went through the you guys know CBS puts out, like, coaches' rankings every year, like their consensus. They ask all their writers to rank the coaches, and then they put them out. So I checked on, like, the usual kind of guys, like Deion Sanders, trying to find where he's ranked right now. I can't find him. I know he's – so Deion Sanders right now is ranked 61st on their, like, list. I don't know if I can say he's overrated if they have him 61st, right? Like, 61st seems kind of right for Deion Sanders in my mind. I think they might have Sherrone Moore ranked ahead of him, and Sherrone Moore is entering his first season as a head coach. So – I don't know. I completely agree with you, Chris, on Mario Cristobal. I think he was in the top 30 on their list. He brings in all kinds of talent and can never win anything at Miami. He did a lot of good stuff with the leftover coaches stuff and good O-line recruiting in Oregon. But yeah, so should I give both of my nationwide guys or just one of them?
You have two national?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, give us the other one.
Oh, no, I have two more. Sorry.
Oh, you have three? All right, yeah, give me all three.
Yeah, I'll give the normal one. Dabo Sweeney. I know he has two national championships, but, like, he doesn't use the transfer portal. He was ranked number three on the CBS, like, coaches rankings thing. It's just baffling in my mind. Nobody out there would choose Dabo Sweeney to be their head coach today over a Kalen DeBoer or over a Brian Kelly. You know, like, nobody would choose him over those guys in my mind. So that's just kind of what I did. I just looked at the guys around him. I'm like, would I take these other head coaches instead of them, thinking about all the stuff? I didn't have as much data as Chris. My other one, and this one fires me up because I think he has stunk everywhere, but he had one good season and now he's in the top five, which is Steve Sarkisian at Texas. People have wanted Texas to be good for so long. I don't know why. Their fans are stupid. I hate talking to them. I hate listening to, you know, the Lambos and all this other stuff and, you know, all the talent that's down there and everything they have. But he jumped. They had him last time. I looked back at the 2023 rankings. They had him at 37. He goes to the playoffs, gets his butt beat by Kalen DeBoer, who was ranked 7th. Kalen DeBoer just beat him with Washington. Tell me how Washington gets better talent than Texas. Kalen DeBoer just smacked his butt around, beat him, and Steve Sarkisian is 5th, but Kalen DeBoer is 7th? You tell me how that makes any sense. Steve Sarkisian is not even a top 10 coach. He had one good season. Congrats, Steve. You have a good offensive mind. You call your own plays. You're not a top 10 coach. You have a whole bunch of oil money down there to pay recruits. You got a Lambo distributor near you, so that way you can get Lambos on the campus. He's not a good coach, and Texas is going to be bad again at some point by their standards, and it's not going to go well.
SEC bias, man.
Yeah. They joined, the SEC was the best thing that ever happened to Texas for these rankings.
Chris, do you have anybody else? By the way, JR, your mic's popping a little bit. Something happened after you muted and came back on.
Okay.
I did not list anybody else for the national. But you know what? I mean, we could sit here all day long and go on about guys who are overrated and don't deserve it. I mean, obviously Sarkisian's a big one as well for me. But We'll save it because it's a Big Ten guy.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the $1.99 super chat. Yeah, I actually said it right when that came on. So thank you for that. All right. Here we go. When I think overrated, I throw out stats. I don't want to look at wins and losses. I say two things. Who does everybody talk about, but at the end of the day, they don't live up to the expectations that everybody has for him?
I better know where you're going.
And he's national because he's not played in the Big Ten yet. So I'm cheating a little bit here because this might be your guys' answer for the Big Ten. It's Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley has all these he's the quarterback whisperer. How many Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks has he had? Three or four?
Three.
How many national championships?
Never won a playoff game with him.
Thank you, JR. You're still popping. It's gotten worse, actually. So I don't know how he's – like, I was watching the chat, and sorry if I'm about to say something wrong. I didn't see anybody not mention him in the chat. However, a close second for me is a lot of you have mentioned, and that's Brian Kelly. Same thing. Brian Kelly took Notre Dame to, two or three national championships? and won none. And he always underachieved. And guess what, LSU? Cry me a river. You're never going to win the big one with him as your head coach. By the way, I can't wait. This is one of my predictions. I can't wait for the LSU versus Notre Dame first round playoff game this year at Notre Dame Stadium. That's going to be lit. So I kind of cheated here. I went Lincoln Riley because at the end of the day, I look at USC and I say to myself, there's no way that guy, all those years in Oklahoma, all that talent, nothing to show for it. And everybody keeps giving this guy a pass, and he is on the road to being Brian Kelly. So those are my two answers. All right, here we go. Melo agrees with me. He also said Boggs for the win. Thank you, buddy. Now, I don't know. I might have stole your thunder here, Chris. Mm-hmm. Now let's go to the Big Ten. The most overrated coach in the Big Ten is who?
Now, before I get started, yes, I did consider it, Eric. I considered making a lot of people on here mad.
Can I answer this real fast? Mm-hmm. Why would you guys root for LSU versus Notre Dame? I'm not rooting for like either one of them. Notre Dame right now can't stand LSU, and LSU can't stand Notre Dame because of the coach effect that they have there. So because of the Kelly effect. And I just think it's must-see TV. I could care less if either one wins or loses, to be honest with you, Melo. I just want to watch it because I think that's great. Yes, continue. Go ahead, Chris.
So I considered making a lot of people mad on here and going with Ryan Day. I really did.
Eric Osbeck just said it. Yep.
You know, because even though he's 56-8, he's got three jobs in the last 3 years. He's failed at all of them. Hasn't beat that team up north. Hasn't won a Big Ten conference title. Hasn't won the Natty. You know, he's been less than great at the top 10, 8-7, 2-6 against top 5. It's all documented. But ultimately, I decided that no one in the Big Ten does less with more than James Franklin. I mean, come on. The overall record looks good. 112-54. That's not bad. It's what, about 68% winning percentage, I think? Not too shabby. Over 10 seasons, he's had 10 or more wins, what, 4 or 5 times? Yet he is 6-6 in bowl games. I'm sorry, that's 13 seasons total as a coach. And 10 times he's had 10 or more wins 5 times. There we go. 10 or more wins 5 times in 13 seasons. 6-6 though in bowl games, including 4-5 as a head coach at Penn State. Here's the big one. 4-16 versus Ohio State and Michigan. He is 12-26 versus ranked teams, 3-17 versus top 10, 1-8 versus top 5 teams. In 10 years, he's got one Big Ten championship. And half the time, Ryan Day's doubled him up. To me, this guy, he gets decent recruiting classes. But you know what? He is 9-3 James Franklin every year. 9-3, 10-2 if it's a good year. He is what he is. But for some reason, I mean, if you remember right, this guy was thought to be going to USC when Lincoln Riley got the job. Completely overrated. Completely. He doesn't belong in the Big Ten. And what's worse than all this, Eric, is the fact that he's just not a good person. Given what we've heard come out, he's just not a good
person. You have saddled. That story has been given you a saddle to ride that guy this entire rest of the summer, hasn't he?
It really has. It makes me sick. So I got James Franklin as the most overrated coach in the Big Ten. And side note, the reason that Crying Sharon isn't in there yet is because, to me, he hasn't coached a game in the Big Ten. Well, I mean,
kind of. He technically hasn't lost a game as a head coach yet.
Yeah.
Technically.
But you know what? I can't rate him good, bad, or otherwise just yet.
Okay, so here's my thing. I turned the volume down, so hopefully I'm not popping as much now. I think I was yelling. I think that was the issue.
Actually, it sounds great. Why don't you go ahead and turn your volume another notch or two up?
Okay.
You sound really
normal voice now. So
actually, I don't hear it. Sounds good. I think you fixed it. All right.
I just won't yell anymore. I'll try not to.
Yell! We want to hear it, JR. Get passionate about it in there.
I have two goals the rest of the episode. Don't say stupid. Don't yell.
Well, you just broke the first one, so might as well break the second one.
Reference. Okay, so I have a thought on Ryan Day. All right, so Ryan Day on the CBS Coaches Consensus Rankings is ranked second. I feel like that's too high, right? But here are the guys ranked under him, and you guys tell me if you would rather these guys be Ohio State's head coach over Ryan Day. Okay? So let's just go one by one. Dabo Swinney.
No.
Eric?
No. No way. No.
Okay. Brian Kelly.
No. Hell no.
No way.
Steve Sarkisian.
No.
No.
Kyle Whittingham.
No, but I like the guy.
I like him, but
I don't think he would be able to handle Ohio State. This one I would. Kalen DeBoer.
No.
I would take Kalen DeBoer over.
I'm not a buyer.
Really?
I would.
Why?
I would.
Just because he just has Alabama wanted him?
Well, he has the winning record. I think that him getting to the national championship game at Washington was impressive. He's recruiting better at Alabama right now than I thought he would. He's in some tight recruiting battles with Ohio State, and quite frankly, he might win a few of them. So they might flip Naeem Offord. I don't think it'll happen, but it's possible, especially with Tim Walton at Ohio State. If he's able to flip him, you know, could be a good thing. We'll see. I don't know. I think he should probably be ranked above Ryan Day, but we'll see. Mike Norvell.
No.
No.
So I guess in my mind, it's like if there's only one coach in college football that we can consensus say we would have over him, and Kirby Smart, right? Every single one of us would take Kirby Smart over Ryan Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let's come back to this after this season. Yeah,
okay.
Fair?
Exactly. Right. But like, right now, all of us would take Kirby Smart over Ryan Day.
Mm-hmm.
I would, without a doubt. In my mind, if he's the coach, only one behind Kirby Smart, like, maybe second, maybe third, isn't overrated. Like, I don't know. There's just so many coaches not in college football anymore. Saban's not in college football. Harbaugh's not in college football. Like, you know, so him being second or third, depending on how you have it, I don't think it's overrated. I just think there's not as many good coaches in college football right now.
So who's your guy in the Big Ten?
Oh, I have multiple guys. I very much dislike the coaches in the Big Ten.
He's pulling an Aaron.
Yeah.
I also have Lincoln Riley. I don't need to go into that. Dan Lanning, he annoys the crap out of me. What has he won? He's ranked ninth on their thing. He went from 36th to ninth this past year. What did he do other than lose to Washington twice? Like, okay, he got Bo Nix, who started at quarterback for him, what, 2 or 3 years? And was a very, you know, well-minded quarterback. And they went out and got Dylan Gabriel, who everybody wants to talk about how Will Howard got replaced by Avery Johnson, which I know that's not exactly the case. I'm just saying that's the narrative that people put out there. But nobody wants to talk about how Dylan Gabriel got, you know, basically the same treatment by Oklahoma with Jackson Arnold coming in to replace him. Like, if you got to say that that Avery Johnson came in to replace Will Howard, you got to say that Jackson Arnold came in to replace Dylan Gabriel as well. So, I don't know. I don't see it. I think he's getting a whole lot of love this offseason. I think the Oregon fans pipe him up. I don't think he's that good of a recruiter. I think he has Phil Knight money. Great job, but I don't think he's that great of a recruiter. I think he learned everything that he knows from Kirby, and he's using it, and he has the Nike, you know, bank behind him. So, I don't know. I think he's overrated. And then my final one, Kirk Ferentz. Kirk Ferentz is 100% overrated. CBS is in the top 20 coach. I have some hard and fast numbers. You guys ready for this? You guys ready for this?
Okay. I guess.
The Big Ten West was born, all right? Big Ten West mama had Big Ten West baby in 2014. Mm-hmm. If we don't count 2020, because that wasn't a full season, Kirk Ferentz in the Big Ten West era had 3 double-digit win seasons. How many did he have in the 9 seasons prior to the Big Ten West? Because he's been around since, you know.
How many double-digit win seasons before the Big Ten West?
Yes.
1.
The 9 seasons prior.
1.
1.
1. Yes.
I nailed it.
3. Yep. He had 3 in the Big Ten West, the 9 seasons of it, but only 1 prior to that.
And it was the year they beat us, I think.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
I think so too.
I remember that game, man. Against Trestle.
9 years prior to the Big Ten West, he was 66-48. 9 years after the Big Ten West, so of the Big Ten West, he's 82-38. That's a 10% better winning percentage just by having the Big Ten West. We saw what happened to them last year when they played Penn State. They were absolutely demoralized. A team that Ohio State and Michigan both beat, they were absolutely demoralized, 31-0. Yes, it was the wideout, all this good stuff. But if he's not playing Big Ten West caliber teams, look at what happened with Tennessee in the bowl game. If he's not playing Big Ten West caliber teams where his defense can play well and the other team can't out-athlete them, they're not going to win. They're not going to do a good job. So welcome to the new Big Ten, Kirk Ferentz. You have a pretty good schedule for yourself this year, but the schedule's only going to get harder, and I don't think he's going to win at the same level he was when he was in the Big Ten West.
All right. Before I answer this question, I preface this by saying this. Given this raw – and chat, I want your honest answer, chat. Give it to me honestly here. Oh, Sky U Pod guys, what's up?
That was another thing I meant to mention. Yes, they only play Iowa State. Like, how do they get away with only playing Iowa State? They're a disgrace to the Big Ten. Kirk Ferentz should retire. Thank you.
I'm going to really make you guys happy in just a second. But I preface this question by saying this. And chat, get ready. Given this talent and given this roster, if we lose against that team up north this season – and we do not win the Big Ten, and we do not win a national championship, is Ryan Day the most overrated coach in the Big Ten? Yes or no?
And in the nation.
Yes or no? Chris?
Yes, and in the nation.
JR?
I mean, what's the perception of what he's ranked? If he's still ranked second, then yeah. But if he gets bumped down to like...
In your mind, what's he... I don't care about the ranking. In your mind... If he doesn't beat that team up north and win the Big Ten, at least that, is he not the most overrated coach in the Big Ten? Yes or no?
Lincoln Riley's hard to beat. He's at the very least tied.
Okay. Chat, I love you. I love you, chat, for your honesty. Here we go. Southeast Dago 619. Yes, without question. Jeremy, I love it, man. Jeremy, this is my answer too. Yes, but it won't happen. Donald and Karen, yes. I think Coconut, I don't know if this is the answer to the question or not. Yet, no doubt, bro. Lack of, I think that's for something else. Mello, fired, he says. Eric Osbeck, most overrated OSU coach in our history. Whoa.
Coop was up there.
Sean Shaw. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Not when it comes to being overrated.
The expectations for Coop were not as high as they are.
I guess. I didn't.
Well, there were years where they were.
There were years, but not consistently.
Not overall. I agree.
Yeah.
Sean Schrock. Yes. Tyler. Yes. Bobby McCormick. Bobby Mack. Yes. If he loses to them, I fire him on the spot. Yeah, Washington, K Washington, yes, but not going to happen. I love those answers. Mello, $5 holler. Good thing we won't find that out, Boggs. Natty season. That's right. By the way, we're working on a Natty or Bust t-shirt, guys. That's going to happen. It's going to be later this summer. We're going to have the Natty or Bust t-shirt available for you.
Dago's right. I was thinking just the Michigan game, but Dago's right about the title.
Cooper has that title.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I get to give my answer. Kirk Ferentz has dirtied. Okay, Kirk Ferentz has soiled that program so bad. Iowa, if you go back, I'm talking go way back in the time machine. Mm-hmm. Okay? Iowa at one time, and spare me the it couldn't happen today thing. Iowa had a number one team at one time. They were the best team in the Big Ten before Kirk Ferentz got there in the mid-80s. Okay? Yeah, I think it was 86. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. They were number one, and they came into Ohio State, and we shocked them. We had Chris Spielman at linebacker that year. It was a rainy day. It was on the AstroTurf. It was like they were playing in a pond, okay? They were the number one team in the country. That team has beaten the team up north multiple times when Ohio State actually was the third or fourth best team in the conference at times. And Kirk Ferentz has somehow, over time, gotten the fan base to lower their expectations and be satisfied with 8, 9, and 10 win seasons, and has held that entire fan base hostage. There is, and trust me, I know James Franklin is overrated. Trust me, he's overrated. But there is not a more overrated grandpa coach in all of football than Kirk Ferentz. Completely overrated. So much so, he still plays football from the 1970s, which you're right, JR, was good enough to win a lot of games when they were just playing the Big Ten West. It's not going to happen anymore. Mark it down. Here's my hot take. We always give predictions going into the season. Here's my prediction. This will be Kirk Ferentz's last year in the Big Ten. He will retire at the end of this season. Mark it down. Kirk Ferentz will, Iowa will have a new head coach next year. That's one of my predictions for this year. Most overrated coach in the Big Ten. So, but Ryan Day better win it. Donald and Karen Rosbach, thank you so much for the $20 super chat. It is not going to happen, Boggs. He is going to win it all. OH, and we all know what to do here. Iowa. Absolutely, Donald. I think this is a big year for us. And Sky U-Pod, that was for you guys, if you're still listening. Kirk Ferentz, most overrated coach in the Big Ten, hands down. Matt, you're right. You were the one who brought that up in your call. It was in your phone call. That game is when I became a Buckeye as a five-year-old. Yeah, how cool, man. All right, Buckeye Blitz, he agrees. You can't argue that fact about Iowa, and the Sky U Pod is giving us a round of applause for that one. He is, man. I'm telling you, that guy, I really wish for the Iowa fans' sake, I wish he has such a bad year that the administration has no choice but to fire him if he refuses to step down.
They're going to give him the Brian Ferentz treatment?
He listen.
You know they're not going to fire him.
They need to. They need to have better expectations than that, man.
They've had like two, like the past 50 years, they've had two coaches, right? Like,
right. Yeah. Well, and the basketball program's the same way.
Yeah. Like, this is just the way this school operates. Here's your coach. Deal with him for, you know, 25 years.
Ooh. Let me give you this scenario. Kirk Ferentz steps down or is fired, and they go up to Ames, Iowa, and get Campbell to travel on down and over to Iowa City to be their next head coach. That would be juicy. That one would be juicy. I don't know. I haven't thought about who they might get, but I know this much. That job, you have to have the right person in that job. It better be an offensive guy. It better be. Another question. Bobby Mack, what is your prediction for top five teams in the Big Ten, Or is that a next podcast discussion? Well, Bobby Mac, that's a great question, because we're going to actually, by the end of our previews, we're going to rank all the Big Ten teams from 1 to 18, but we're going to get through all of our previews first so that when we give our rankings, we can come to a good consensus because we've done our homework and everything. But you might be interested to know that after we're done with all the position groups, we're going to rank the coaches, and we're not just going to do the top 10. We're going to rank them from 1 through 18. So that one will be coming. Boggs, why has Iowa kept him all these years? They believe in loyalty. It's something that is they're not a cult. They're not a cult. Texas A&M is a cult, dude.
Oh, it is.
Wow. Yeah.
Texas A&M is a legit cult. I kid you not. Look it up. You want to see some cult-like stuff? Go look up those male cheerleaders who wear the white overalls and tell me that is not a cult. That is a cult. Big time. Chief, tell me, is Texas A&M a cult? They were in the Big 12 for many, many years playing against you guys in K-State. Is that a cult? And he also says Chris Kleiman would however they pronounce his coach's name, would be his worry that Iowa would go get him. Mark Swick, that was what I was thinking, Boggsy. What's that? That Texas A&M's a cult or something else? I might be behind in the chat. I'm sorry, Mark.
That's not a thought. That's a fact.
What's that?
That's not a thought. That's a fact.
What's that?
That Texas A&M's a cult.
Luke Jones. M sucks even on Father's Day. Okay. I think he's talking about Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Ooh. I didn't know that. Kyle Whittingham and Kirk Ferentz are the longest tenured coaches. I knew Kirk was. I didn't know Kyle was.
Yeah.
Well, he took over when Urban left.
For Urban.
Yeah, but how many years has that been? I figured it would be
upper teens.
Oh, okay. Okay. Matt Campbell, he says, got it. Okay. Male cheerleaders in white pants? It's white overalls. Dude, I kid you not. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Jeremy, go look it up.
Don't watch it.
They do this weird thing where they're like, woo, Texas A&M, woo. It's so.
Let's can get we Boggsy just in some white pants and
I mean he can, here
reenact it for
here me. This is the best way to describe it. They fit well in the month that we're in right now.
Oh, Eric, you didn't go there.
Oh, Eric,
just saying. I said that politically correct, did I not? I said moving that politically on. Correct.
Moving on.
I made both of you very uncomfortable.
Next topic. I dislike this conversation more than the Dion one.
Oh, guys. Hey, man. We were going to get into recruiting, but it's already night 30. We got to recruit today. JR, do you want to bust out some quick recruiting stuff for everybody you want to talk about real fast?
Sure. Isaiah West committed today. He's much better than what his ranking indicates. If you were on Twitter though and talking about Michigan's three-star recruit, probably didn't look so good if you were celebrating the three-star recruit for Ohio State. I don't think it's exactly the same, but you know, they Michigan fans they latch on to anything that gives them any kind of breath, so they would certainly latch on to that. Justin Fry had some good stuff going on this week. I heard the visit with Micah DeBose went very, very, very well. However, we are going to need that commit sometime this week because he does go to Alabama next week, and he does have an affinity for Alabama. So if he doesn't commit to Ohio State by Friday, I'm not saying it's over, but I feel less confident about the recruitment and him getting him getting here. So yeah, Quincy Porter on Friday, he's very good. Trying to think if there's anybody else of super note. Dorian Brew comes in for this last weekend. There's a lot of really good guys coming in. Yeah, so Yeah, Mello, I try to use my knowledge of what I know to record videos ahead of time and try to drop them as fast as I can. So if you get a commitment, probably within the first 5 minutes, if I knew about it, then I'll drop it out there. I don't always know when they're going to happen, but I hear good news and put together a video. I had an Andrew Stargell video ready to go. I don't think I'll be posting that one. So
cool. Anything else?
Nope. That's all I got from the recruiting front. Unless you guys have any specific questions. Or if the chat does, I'll try my best.
We'll give you guys a couple minutes to put in chat any questions in the chat real fast. JR, if you have any recruiting questions, and I'm actually answering your question right now, Bobby Mack, go to the merch link on the website, theohiopodcast.com.
I believe they're 30.
Dago brought up the David Sanders thing we brought up earlier in the episode. Spelling his name wrong.
Coconut, would love to be able to see the chat available after the shows here on the OHAO podcast. We might be able to do something like that on our website. I don't see why we couldn't have like an open chat on the website for sometimes.
I
apologize to Chuck McFarland. So he apparently didn't like my trying to be politically correct. I apologize. Why don't you feel Stargell won't commit? Why do you feel Stargell won't commit?
I think that Ohio State still views Cook and Stargell for the same thing. And I think Justin Fry is feeling himself a little bit. And from what I was told, Justin Fry wanted Stargell to commit on the visit. And Stargell said no. He said he wanted to take his visits and he wanted to go to July 3rd. I know the conversations out there about, like, just take the best guy. Yeah, I don't think recruiting is all that easy. I think at the end of the day, Ohio State would rather have the for sure guy who they really, really like and they think is a good piece for the locker room, even if maybe he's not as talented. But at the same time, I don't know if Ohio State thinks Cook isn't talented. I think that, I mean, he really, really impressed people when he came back for camp this year. I mean, and how much he's been coming back every single year, like, there's something about that attitude that you just really, really like, and I think Justin Fry really appreciates it. So I think they probably end up taking Cook over Stargell, especially if he keeps letting his commitment drag out. But we'll see. If they don't get Dave McFadden, go ahead.
I want Cook.
Yeah, no, I do too.
Absolutely.
He's exactly who we've been talking about as the guy you need on this team. He fits every criteria for what we've been talking about. Ohio kid, loves the Buckeyes, will bleed scarlet and gray, will inject into this roster the I hate the team up north. That's who you want. That I'll never understand why they sit on those guys. I can't.
My thing with Cook, don't get me wrong, I think Cook should be in the class, and I would love it if they finally offer him. He's just not as aggressive as Stargell. Sean Schrock put it in there. Stargell's better. I don't know if Stargell is a better fundamental player, but the way he plays is better. You watch Stargell's tape. Mello's right. Stargell's birthday is the 3rd, and that's why he wants to commit on that day. But you watch his tape. Man, the guy is mean. He is nasty. I mean, you guys see what Josh Fryer did to that Notre Dame defensive lineman when he got flagged for it in that Notre Dame game. I mean, Stargell does that like almost every single play. Like, he is just beating guys down, pancaking them, getting on top of them. I mean, even when they're down,
lame
hitting them.
Flag, by the way.
Yeah, it was a lame flag. I guarantee he doesn't get flagged in this film when he does that in high school ball. So I don't know if I would say Stargell is better, but the way he plays, at least from the film that I've seen, maybe Cook will be different a senior year, but the way he plays is better.
All right, two things real fast. Let's answer this question, and Donald Hoffer, you get the last question because it's something I need to ask the chat. And Buckeye Blitz answers it with, I believe in Will Howard. Chris, I'll let you answer this. What's your thoughts on Will Howard?
You know, I feel good about Will Howard. I really do. I think he's a born leader. I think he's going to give stability and leadership to this room. I think he's going to be a do what you got to do to get it done type of guy. Is he the most gifted passer? Probably not, but he's going to be sufficient as a passer. If he is a decent passer, but has the leadership qualities that we need to guide this team, I think that he's going to be amazing, and that's what I'm looking for.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Last thing here is I wanted to bring this up to you guys. So what we have at the College Huddle is really cool, and it is growing, and we're going through a little bit of a growing pain right now as we try to get ourselves organized in a way to where when we make our second big launch in the fall before or late summer before football starts, that we have everything in place. One of those things that we have been working on is Discord for the College Huddle. Every podcast in the College Huddle will have their own Discord channel. We currently have a Discord channel. I've not really done anything with it, nor have I talked about it. But I would like to let you all know the plan for what the Discord channel is going to be. I haven't decided if we're going to open the bad boy up for everybody or if we're going to make it for the members. So a part of the $3.99 membership for the OHIO podcast, maybe that's where you'll get access to our Discord channel if you're a member. But here's the plan. We're going to make the Discord open for we plan on being there for in-game discussions while the game is going on. So we'll be in there chatting it up during the games. Of course, we'll go live after the games for call-in shows after the game, but we're going to use Discord, I think, as our chat for everybody who is a member of the OHIO podcast. $3.99 a month, and that'll be another perk you get is access to our Discord channel where we all can hang out and chat during games or maybe even before or after we do shows when we have special shows. So that is the plan with Discord. So if you guys like that idea, let me know. We can play around with it. I'm trying to add perks for the membership so that we can get more people to join and see the value in it. And one of the things I thought about doing is making our community of members and give them a place where we all hang out when we're watching games. Now, some of us go to games. Chris and I were going to a lot of football games together, and I'm making the choice to go to very few because I really want to see our channel grow. Yeah. And I think doing the call-in shows after the games is going to be huge for us. A lot of the media have after-show shows. None of them give you the opportunity to call in and vet or yell or celebrate. We're going to do that, guys. We're going to have a great time, and we're going to make that a part of what we do. And so Discord will kind of be a part of that for us. And so that's my idea. So let me know what you all think about that, if you think that's a good idea. Coconut Dream says, yeah, I'll be in on that, Boggsy. $3.99 a month is a great deal for a membership here. Thank you. That's the other thing, guys. Okay, Bobby Mack. Yeah, I like that. What's a Discord? Great question. I didn't know what it was either. It is basically a chat community. So it's kind of like a, how would you guys describe it? A chat board? I don't know how to.
Think back to the old, if you're old enough, think back to the old AOL chat rooms.
Okay.
It's kind of like that.
Okay.
It's just like another messenger app on your phone. Everybody else is using that app.
Yeah, but you don't have to use it. It can be a computer. It doesn't have to be phone. Too. Yeah. You use your phone or it can be your computer. So, JR, were you about to say something?
No, that's all I was going to say. Go
ahead. Okay. Sean says he loves that idea. Cool. Yeah, so we will probably launch it before the season starts, try out a few things. Chris from the Boiler Express podcast heads that up for College Huddle. I'll say this, our Illinois brethren in the College Huddle have over 400 members on their Discord channel. That thing is popping all the time. And so I've thought there's no way I can manage that and have a full-time job and be a dad and be a husband and do this podcast and run two websites. There's no way. But I thought that might be a place where when we get some moderators, and that's coming, guys, we could have some people who also moderate possibly our Discord channel and have some specific times where we schedule to go hang out and chat in the Discord. So that's kind of what we're talking about. I hope you guys like the idea and looking forward to doing that. So if you're a member already and you're paying $3.99, you're going to be in there, man. You're going to be in there. All right. Anything else, guys?
I want to reiterate, because I see people talking in the chat about him. If you haven't watched Juck on Bucks yet, go watch him. He's the number one rising Ohio State show out there, I think, other than us, of course, you know. But he's got great content. He came on our show one time, and I talked to Juck almost weekly, and just a great guy.
Yep, Juck's cool. We'll have him back on, no doubt. I've also been thinking about trying to get Buckeye Fangirl back on. You guys remember her?
Yeah.
We had. I don't know if the chat knows who she is.
Oh, she's awesome.
She's on YouTube.
Oh yeah, she's fantastic. Chris and I have met her in person. So she came to Cleveland and had a get together last year, and she is super cool. And I've been thinking about trying, but she's a West Coast gal, so sometimes it's hard to bring her on and find that time. So Poppy McCormick, if you start a non-family friendly Discord board, I'll be here for you. Listen, brother, I appreciate trying to have the family friendly rating. I know sometimes I can get off the rails a little bit, and Chris can sling a word or two every now and then. And Alex from our call-in show really challenged that rating. But
I'll tell you what, Eric, there some of those chats back and forth with you, me, and old Sergeant MVP a few times last season, I don't know they would have passed.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris putting BB guns on the wall. And
you can create different chats in the Discord, so maybe we'll just have a non-family friendly chat. And you can go in there, and we'll put in parentheses, if you dare.
I like it, guys. Awesome. Okay, guys, thank you so much for tonight's show. We really do appreciate that. Go check out Juck on Bucks. I only made it through about 30 minutes of his show, so haven't seen the rest of it yet, but I love what he does. Go check that out. Programming note, not sure about Thursday night yet. I'll let you all know. Again, my wife and I are trying to plan a camping trip, but we have a sick dog now, and so I don't know what's going on. So it might be Thursday, it might be Friday, heck, it might be Wednesday. I don't know, but we'll let you guys know. Okay, be on the lookout this week. Illinois up first. Illinois preview is coming at you guys very, very soon. Until then, be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH. St. Carmen, Ohio, with all your heart. Till next time, OH.
I owe.
Go Bucks.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.